Welcome to this edition of My Car Guru. I am Lenny Lawson, and that's what they call me, the Car Guru. The Car Guru had to get his heart checked out not too long ago. I told you all that if you happen to be listening to my show, which you may not have, but I'm an older guy, 65 years old, and I went and had a cardiac calcium test about 10 years ago, and the lady said, "Mr. Lawson, yours is the worst I've ever seen." So ever since then, I've had to take certain drugs to make me live longer, I suppose. But anyway, it was time for my annual cardiac test, and I sat down in the chair. What the nurse was taking care of me, and she said, "Well, we're going to have to do a echo stress test." I said, "Well, what's that?" She said, "Well, you have to get on a treadmill, and you have to, you know, work out pretty hard, and then we're going to take pictures of your heart." And I said, "Well, that's just wonderful." So I went back and had that done, and it was hard. I mean, that I went the entire time on that treadmill. But if I had to go one half of a second longer, I think I would have collapsed. But anyway, I had that all that EKG stuff on me, and you know, and then I had to flop over on this table, and then this lady puts this jelly on my chest and is looking at my heart and watching it beep. And then the doctor looks at all that and then makes a decision as to what we need to do next. I'm hoping nothing. But, you know, sometimes you find out stuff and you just kind of have to roll with the punches, and that's what I anticipate doing. But one of the things that they do when you go to the doctor's office now, as you probably know if you've been lately, is they put that little thing on your finger, and it checks your oxygen level, right? And it's supposed to be, I don't know, somewhere around 97-98%. And so many people that get COVID, you know, they lose their ability to intake oxygen, or the amount of oxygen that they need, and so their O2 levels go down. And so, you know, we do the same thing basically on your car. If your car, now how's that for a transition to go from the human body to an automobile? But you know, they're very similar, you know, when it comes to diagnosing issues and figuring out what's going on with the heart of a car, which is the engine. And if it's not getting what it needs, then it's going to cause problems. You know, and there's some very common things that happen with cars. One of them involves oxygen, as a matter of fact. And if you take your car into the service department, it's got, you know, some miles on it, let's say 50, 60,000 miles on it, you may have had a check engine light come on. Well, that's that little heart monitor for your car. And it says, "Whoa, something's not right here." And more often than not, it's the oxygen sensor. And basically what it does is it reads the levels of unburned oxygen in your exhaust. So the oxygen sensor is in your exhaust system, and it's sniffing out for oxygen. And unburned oxygen is not a good thing. Your car needs to have something adjusted. And so what the computer does when it senses any too much oxygen in the exhaust system, it changes the air-to-fuel ratio, which will improve the performance on your car. Now, you know, if your O2 sensor is bad, then it's not measuring the oxygen, unburned oxygen, and therefore your car is going to get worse gas mileage and not perform as well as it should. Typically, oxygen sensors are going to need to be replaced at about 50,000 miles. So you may have had that done in the past. Maybe not, but that might be the culprit for your, or the reason that your check engine light is coming on. Another very common thing is your catalytic converter going bad. Now, oxygen sensors aren't that expensive, but catalytic converters are really expensive. So expensive, in fact, that people like to steal them. Yeah, they're actually converter theft rings that go around to empty or to full lots of cars and empty them of their catalytic converters, and they sell them. There are precious metals in the converters that they get out and sell on the market. So anyway, you didn't know you had platinum. You're carrying around with a load of platinum in your catalytic converter. Well, you are. And so people steal them. If the converter gets stopped up, your car won't run. And, you know, if you're generating too many exhaust fumes and you live in Virginia, then when you get a state inspection, they're going to say, you got a problem. you're putting out too many hydrocarbons. So they will make you get your converter replaced. Big expensive thing. So you don't want to have to do that. The best way to avoid having to do that is trade your car. Now, you need to maintain your vehicle. You need to make sure that you change your filters when you're supposed to, change your oil when you're supposed to. A properly maintained car, the converter is not going to go bad unless it's just a kind of a freak thing or you keep the car way too long. Another very common thing is the ignition coil goes bad. Now, at one time, your car had something called a distributor on it. There was one coil that sent power to the distributor, which distributed the electrical spark to the different spark plugs and made your car run. But in addition to that, of course, you need air and you need fuel. And if you have spark, then you go. But if you have an ignition coil today go bad, then it's a little different deal because there is no distributor. The ignition coil is fired off by the computer, and that's what makes your spark plug fire off and ignite the air-fuel mixture. So, in real simple terms, if you have a coil go bad, and on an 8-cylinder car, there's going to be 8 of them, and on a 4-cylinder car, there's going to be, 4 of them. And you can have one go bad, and that just means that your car is going to miss. You're going to have one cylinder that's not performing well, and that's going to activate your check engine light as well. So there's so many different things that are tied to that check engine light. Could actually be your transmission. Pretty much anything that goes wrong with a car is going to activate that little light on your vehicle. Now, if you don't replace your coil, then, your whole ignition system could be damaged. So it's important to find out what's going on, especially if you feel a miss, you're going down the road and you just feel this little vibration. It's not like a tire vibration. It's in your engine. And typically you only notice it when you're accelerating. But that type of engine miss is something that needs to be paid attention to. You know what the most common thing to set off a check engine light? Not putting on your gas cap correctly or leaving it off. I see these people sometimes going down the road and their gas door's open and their gas cap is hanging, beating up against the side of their car. If you drive a Ford, and there's some other makes that don't use gas caps, then all you'll have is your door open, but your gas intake is sealed off. But you really do need to close that because what it'll do is it'll cause your check engine light to come on. So, other things, spark plugs, that's a very common thing. They don't need to be replaced like they used to have to be. I mean, back when I first got in the car business, you had to replace spark plugs every 12,000 miles. Now it's 100,000 miles. Or sometimes, I'll have people come, should I replace my spark plugs? And I say, is the car running good? Yeah. Is it getting good gas mileage? Yeah. Well, then I wouldn't do it then. Just wait. But replacing them proactively at 100,000 miles or whenever it calls for it, it's not a bad idea, and it's not a real expensive thing to do. Tune-ups aren't what they used to be. Tune-up is pretty much changing the fuel filter and putting in new spark plugs. That's about it. At one time, you replaced other parts that were in the distributor. Remember, we don't have distributors anymore, so there's no reason to replace any parts there. It just seems like everything else that you have to replace on a car now is a lot more expensive than the little parts that we had to replace, like rotor buttons and condensers. It's gotten a lot more expensive than that. A lot of people think that they just need to replace their air filter, but there's this other thing that is associated with the air filter called the mass airflow sensor, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. Okay, we're back, and we're talking about some very common things that can go wrong with your car, things that you might have to replace, like the oxygen sensor, the catalytic converter. Hopefully, you don't have to replace that. Coils can go bad. I skipped one that I wanted to mention, and we talked about spark plugs and how tune-ups aren't what they used to be, and I am going to talk about the mass airflow sensor, but the thermostat, that's really, you got a thermostat in your house, right? And you go get a little chilly. Like I'm noticing I'm getting cold a lot more than I used to. So I'll go turn up the heat. My wife said, "Did you turn the heat up to 72? And I said, "Yeah, I was cold." So, well, I'm not cold, I'm hot. Well, how come women get hot and men get cold when they get older? I don't understand that. But anyway, the thermostat is kind of like a temperature regulator for your car. And it is in between your radiator, where the antifreeze and stuff is, well, where some of it is, and your engine block. And so when your engine block heats up, it opens up your thermostat. It's a mechanical reaction that takes place. But it opens up the thermostat and allows coolant to flow into your engine. Thermostats are basically designed to react at a certain temperature. And since it's a mechanical part, sometimes thermostats fail, and you may have to replace that. Pretty common thing. As is the mass airflow sensor. So this is a sensor, as it sounds, that determines how much air is going to get into the engine. If it isn't functioning well, then your engine is going to use more gas, and it's not going to perform like it's supposed to. And again, this is something that will trigger your check engine light. It won't stop you on the side of the road. You know, hardly any of this will. Well, the catalytic converter can if it gets stopped up. But, you know, it's one of those things that will turn that light on. A lot of people panic when they see that light come on. But there is no reason to panic. You know, if you have a modern car like a new Ford, you can have the Ford Pass app. Yeah, I actually got that out again. And it will tell you, like, you know, if your check engine light comes on, all you have to do is pull up the app, and right there's it's already sent a signal to the app, to your account, saying, hey, this is probably bad on your car. Find your nearest Ford dealer. You know, unless it says, stop the car now and walk away, then you're probably okay, and that's not going to happen. But the mass airflow sensor is pretty expensive, and you can really make it last longer if you just change your air filter when you're supposed to. And that's probably every 12,000 miles or so, change your air filter. I don't know what it says in your book. And sometimes I don't go by the book anyway. I mean, I change my oil every 5,000 miles, and I rotate my tires at the same time. So my oil changes cost more than yours because I'm having them rotate my tires. But I don't see any sense in changing the oil every 3,000 miles like they used to. It's really totally unnecessary. But I don't like going 7,500 or 10,000 miles either. Now, some cars, like this BMW we just traded for, you know, it says you don't have to change the oil for, like, I don't know, 15,000 miles. It uses synthetic oil. That's hogwash to me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to change my oil at least once a year. And I'm going to change every 5,000 miles. Of course, I'll drive some of my cars over 5,000 miles a year. But like these performance cars, you know, like my Bronco and Corvair and Porsche and stuff, I don't change the oil but once a year. And because I'm not even driving them 5,000 miles a year. So anyway, so that's how I feel about oil changes. You know, I don't think people change their windshield wipers often enough. I bet you haven't. I bet you haven't changed your wipers in years. I'm probably wrong, but, you know, most people do not think about it until the wiper blades wear out. And next thing you know, you're scratching your windshield, and those are hard to get out. So change your wiper blades in the spring and coming out of the summer, going into winter or fall. I'm sorry, going into fall. You'll be happier, and your windshield will love you for it, and you'll be able to see out better. And, gosh, when it snows, make sure you don't turn on your windshield wipers. Get those things freed up first, because you can burn up your windshield wiper motor if you're not careful. Also, don't forget about that cabin air filter. You may have already forgotten about it. If you go to a new car dealership and get your vehicle serviced, they're always going to mention that. Have you seen a nasty cabin air filter? I have. And you don't want to breathe the air that's going through that. Thank goodness there was a filter there. My goodness. Change the cabin air filter. We have some samples here that we've taken out of cars, and they are disgusting. Okay, scheduled maintenance. Follow your maintenance schedule. You know, one of the things that does for you is that it improves your resale value. If you can pull out a book when you're trading cars and say, look here, Mr. Salesperson, or Mr., you know, somebody that comes to look at your car, look here how I've maintained this car. And you've got all your oil changes and rotations and even money that you spent on that car. That makes people feel good about offering you that high price that you're asking for your car. And, I mean, we see some pretty amazing cars that come through our dealership that people have neglected. We've actually, in our service department, every month there'll be somebody that didn't change their oil and their engine is destroyed. You know, these are pretty simple things. Tires, you got to check your tires, folks. If your tires are more than 7 years old, I don't care if they've got beautiful tread, you need to replace them. They're not safe. Now, some people may say, well, you know, that's a little excessive. No, it's not. Rubber deteriorates over time. Deteriorates. I have a hard time with that word, too. And, you know, you just look at the, if you look at the sidewall of your tire or in the tread and you see these little cracks, little like hairline cracks, your tire, that's what's happening to your rubber. And it's going bad. And I worry about the ones you can't see. I don't care how much tread depth you have. And if you have less than 4/32 of an inch, that's 2/16, right, of an inch of tread depth, you need to replace them, because when it rains and you go through a puddle and you start hydroplaning and flipping around multiple times, you're going to say, doggone it, I wish I'd replaced these tires. And probably too late then. Of course, anytime you take your car into a reputable shop, they're going to check your brakes. That's the most common repair. Second most common repair that people have to do. How long should your brake pads last? Well, I've seen them last 15,000 miles, which is awful, and I've seen them last about 80,000 miles, which is really good. And a lot of it is driving habits. Now, my mother-in-law, God bless her, she is a left braker, left foot braker. In other words, that left foot is always resting on the brake pedal, and her brake lights are on most of the time. Her brakes aren't going to last very long. I remember the first time I saw that, it was back in the 70s, and I was just dating her daughter then, and I was riding behind her, and her brake lights never went off. And I asked her, Joanne, how come, is something wrong with your brake lights? She said, no, not that I know of. And then I rode with her one day. Oh, my goodness. Yep, that left foot was always on that brake pedal. So I coached her a little bit. I think she ignored me. Tire balance and rotation, very important. Rotating your tires, like I said, every 5,000 miles. Tires going out of balance, typically that doesn't happen unless you throw a wheel weight. See, most wheels and tires are not perfectly in balance. I guess most wheels probably are. Tires have a heavy spot. It's actually marked on the tire. And if you have a wheel with a heavy spot and a tire with a heavy spot, you're going to have vibration going down the road. And that's why people get their tires balanced. But you don't just, you know, out of the blue come in for service and say, hey, I need to get my tires balanced. That's not a regular maintenance thing. That's only if you have a problem. And, of course, if you've developed one all of a sudden, it could be a number of things. But if it's your tire balance, it's probably because you lost a wheel weight, which was used to balance your tires with. Front end alignments, you know, I'm saying that once a year. Now, you know, we just put in this new equipment at Gateway, and we actually scan your vehicle when you drive into our service department, and it tells us whether you have an alignment issue or not. It's really cool. Very expensive, too. But it's well worth the money, because now we don't have to charge for checking somebody's wheels, whether they're in alignment or not. It's free. You just drive through our shop. Now, most places have to charge because they have to get a mechanic, set it up on a machine, attach all the stuff to check the alignment. We don't have to do that. You just drive in the service department. It's the latest technology from Hunter Engineering. And we've got it at Gateway. If you want to get your alignment checked without having to pay for it, you could come down here and we could chat. As long as I'm here, call first. 423-552-2020, and I'll be right back. I told you I'd be right back. Now, two things that will put you on the side of the road and or in a parking lot late at night is when you have a bad battery, or if you ignore that sweet smell of coolant when you get out of your car and you raise your hood and you say, what's that smell? And it's kind of a sweet smell. Well, you have got a coolant leak. Now, that could be a minor problem or a major problem. If you have a loose fitting on a hose, You know, it seems minor. It's a couple turns of a screwdriver and you've solved that problem. But if you have a leaking water pump, or remember that we were talking about thermostats, you could have a thermostat housing that's leaking, or you could have a blown head gasket, which is expensive, but it needs to be fixed because it'll put you on the edge of I-81 at the worst possible time. So, you know, if you smell that, then you need to get a professional to smell it as well and let them find where that coolant is going. If it's minor, great. You might just need to replace a hose, and that's not very expensive. But if you have to be towed in, that gets expensive. And then you've got the dying battery. All batteries die, even in a Tesla. You know, all these electric cars that everybody's going to be buying, they're going to have batteries in them. And over time, batteries degrade, just like engines do. You know, engines wear out, batteries wear out. Electric motors probably wear out too, but not as fast as batteries do. So we're all going to face that. Hopefully they can get the cost down. I don't want to pay $17,000 for a new battery every 100,000 miles. Do you? But that's what happens. And batteries don't charge fully after so many cycles. And at some point, you're going to have to replace something, you know, a couple battery cells or more. There's about 300 or 400 battery cells in a car battery structure. So that's something that we're going to face. But right now, you've just got a 12-volt battery out there underneath your hood, and it deteriorates over time. So you've got a situation where you need to monitor that. So every time you get your oil changed, you need to get your battery checked. Now, we do that for free at Gateway as a part of our oil change, but a lot of places don't. They don't have time to check your battery. They're trying to get to the next person to change their oil. You know, it's like a factory. It's like going to Pal's. You know, they got to get the next hot dog ready. And so, you know, you want to go to someplace that uses a checklist, and your battery life is on that checklist. You know, you lose your cranking amps. That sounds painful. But your cold cranking amps need to be up there, you know, close to, you know, within 75% of what they were new, or you're going to have issues. And, you know, if you see your headlights dimming, you're going down the road and you accelerate and your headlights dim or get bright and get dim and get bright, well, without you dimming and brightening your lights yourself, then you've got a problem. Your battery could be bad, or your alternator could be bad. You know, if your alternator isn't putting enough current out to keep your battery charged when you're going down the road, then, you know, you might need to replace your alternator. So these are things that you need to get checked, very common things that can happen on cars. And don't mean to scare you, just mean to enlighten you. That's what we do on this radio show every weekday. So tune in at 9 o'clock, or really it's 9:06 to 9:30. I couldn't buy that extra 6 minutes. They had to broadcast all that bad news before me. So that's just the way life is. Thanks for listening, though, to this edition of My Car Guru, and we'll see you tomorrow.